Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Now on Triple M Footy.
Now they're switched on.
This
who are you having a go at here?
Is the Midweek Run.
Please just call me the Oracle from now on.
Triple M rocks footy.
Yes, hello, welcome. Another edition of Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. Joey Montagna here. No Rabsy Warren, so I haven't prepared an intro like Rabsy was doing. He was on fire for the first 2 weeks. But joining us as always, the 100-game superstar, Collingwood, Carlton, premiership player, Triple M superstar, and courageously coming in today with a bit of a sniffle. Welcome, Dale Thomas.
Yes, thank you. One of us is showing some courage, of course. Rabsy isn't one of those showing courage. Didn't play the game at the elite level, and now we figure out why. He's got a little bit of a cough and a sniffle, and he's decided just to take 2 days off. So I'm here. I'm bringing my best material, and there is plenty of material about as we look to our right.
The best in the business. That's all I've got for you, Damo. Welcome, Damien Barrett.
I was starting to enjoy Rabsy's almost monologue style, wasn't it, to this show? But we're stuck back with you, Joey.
Yeah, that's it. Pretty straightforward.
Do you go through the weekend's footy? And we love the footy, but out of every game, there was a storyline. You must be just loving it at the
plenty
moment.
Plenty of news.
Your job lots of news. Has just been so easy at the minute.
Lots of news, and there's coaches under pressure, which is always a media theme, isn't it?
You've sacked Bevo already.
No, I'm a minority on that. And weirdly enough, I'm actually a bit defensive of the attacks on Bevo. So you might draw that out of me later on today, if you want. Yeah.
But there's blights out at the Gabba, injuries to big-name players, coaches.
There was the, as Nath Brown called it, the doctored audio that came out of the AFL.
Yes.
So what happened there? Was he going down that path?
Well,
he's a bit of a conspiracy theorist.
He thought there was two bits of audio that were released. So there was two bits of vision.
Well, there were. That's fact.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one on the Sunday morning was different to the one on Saturday night.
Correct. But how?
Well, the one on Sunday morning was from the ARC itself, not the host broadcasters. So that's what we were told. Yeah. I'm with this.
So
how
do they then differ? Because if you're sitting at home and you're watching the broadcast, you obviously don't have the ARC vision. How are you meant to know when the siren goes and if it doesn't and if it's right?
Yeah, I must admit, my ears weren't hearing what I was told to try and listen to and all that. And the AFL signed off on it. No, I didn't have a major issue with it when it's all said and done. But yeah, I'm a little bit with Brownie on that.
You have had a good week though.
Plenty going on. What is your takeaway from after round two? As you said, plenty of news, Daisy. What's the big takeout so far for you?
If you're two things. If you're a Freo fan, you need to see them lift. Otherwise, you can book some September holidays at Rottnest with your West Coast Eagles mates. And if you're Pies fans, keep September very, very open because you'll be needing to go to the football a lot. The Pies are on fire.
Right to the last Saturday of September this year
don't
as opposed to the one before this year, last year.
Yeah.
What about you, Damo? What's the big take? Yeah, lots of little news stories, but what's your big take?
Yeah, I think the reward for attacking footy, I know that's a little bit generic, Joey, but we saw it last year with one team in particular, and there were a few teams that went with Collingwood, but the doubling down of that in the off season and then the realization it's working really, really nicely in rounds one and two, I think it's really exposing some teams for how they're setting up and how they felt 2023 was going to unfold.
You've got a bit of a pep in your step as well. Your Saints on fire. Two and zip. Rossi, everyone thought they were going to go like bastards, and all of a sudden they're two and zip and flying.
You do wonder, don't you, when you see what Clarko's done and Brad Scott and Rossi, how much coaching does have an impact. And just more, as much as there's strategy element to it, there's also just having the ability to get a group to buy in, to believe. You know, like there's something intangible about that these coaches that are storytellers and can bring everyone in, the impact that they have. And it's been a great start. And hopefully from this momentum, the belief's just going to continue to grow.
Is it system as much as anything else these people are bringing, Joey?
It's a bit of everything. You can't just have effort without system because then you run around like headless chooks and you're trying your backside off but you go nowhere. If you just have system and don't have effort, like say a team like the Western Bulldogs, they do have a system. It's just not working because the effort isn't matching it. You need everything to work together.
And do you feel?
And talent is the third part. If you've got that, well, then you're a team that should be competing for for top eight in premierships.
And with the St Kilda aspect of this conversation, are you personally proud of your role in helping Ross? You and your St Kilda mafia.
I think we've heard in the background.
I was going to wait and see how Ross's tenure went before I put my hand up. No, I didn't have any influence in that, but I'm glad that he's back at the club and it's great.
The beauty of these older coaches coming in is they've made a game plan their troops can then go out and carry out. It's all well and good to come up with the big fanciful game plans. We're going to play this way. We're going to play that way. But then your troops can't actually go and do it. Ross has created a game plan that everyone on that list, no matter how much talent there is compared to other lists, they can go out and do it.
And it's a great point, Damo, because you talk about Collingwood and the way they play. But I'm telling you, Hawthorn are trying to play the same way. Mm. But how's that working for Hawthorn at the moment? So you've got to just take what your group is, what your group's got, where you're at and everything like that. Actually, speaking of Fremantle and the Bulldogs, I found a positive for those two teams.
Really? Right.
Yeah.
Can you pass it on to Justin Longmuir and Bevan?
Monday's coming sooner.
No.
No?
They both have the Hawks twice. So there's some positives coming.
So there's 8 points to tanking. Well, sorry, form of tanking.
Well, that's what I want to touch on. I want to get your takes, and I'll have a view as well on what we think Hawthorn of their plan. Now, you've been strong already, Damo. You've already said it's a form of tanking.
A form of tanking.
In that they planned this year to not try and win
a lot of matches. Yeah. And again, for people who don't catch up on it, I'm not saying the players that run out each week and even the coach of that team on that day, Sam Mitchell, are trying to lose that game of footy, but the preparation for 2023 meant that they could not possibly compete well.
And Daisy, that can't be great for a player's mindset, even if you want them to bring their absolute best effort, when you already know at round one and round two, we're basically playing for bottom two spots.
You probably know this as well though, Joey, when you're in a side that isn't going so great, this is the thing that ends up doing your head in. You prepare each week like you're going to go out and they come up with a plan to beat the opposition. And by Friday, no matter how bad you went the weekend before, you have this belief that, hey, if we can execute this for longer, if we do everything the coaches tell us, we're a chance in this. We can actually go out and win this game, because you go into every game believing you can win it. It's almost that false hope, if you will. And then you rock up Sunday morning, you've lost by 80 again. You kick the cat for 3 days, then you build it back up. That only lasts till about round 10, and then you start to lose a little bit of the group in the sense of, well, how much is this messaging working? And we just become more realistic. So I am concerned about the Hawks already, because those two losses, especially last week against Sydney, they were obviously far too good. And the first week against the Bombers, who I still don't think are world beaters, that one actually hurts. If there's another one coming and then another one coming, yeah, it becomes a slippery slope pretty quickly.
What I want to touch on, Damo, is this fallacy about the Hawks rebuild being the right way to go about it and using their 2005 model when Alistair Clarkson arrived as a blueprint. Because I think to go back then, it's absolutely flawed, because people forget there were priority picks that were handed out if you didn't win six games or 5.5 games back in that time. So when you look at Hawthorn, first of all, when Clarko got there, they had two future Hall of Famers already there, Hodge and Mitchell, right? Which, if you're going to find two future Hall of Famers on any list, you're in a great starting point. But in 2004, they got a priority pick to get Jared Ruffhead. They were able to draft Franklin, and they traded away Nathan Thompson for essentially pick 7, which became Jordan Lewis. So part of their big core of their premiership. Then in 2005, they also got a priority pick. They got Nathan Loney. They traded for pick 14. Which became basically Grant Birchall. And they also had still two other top 10 picks because, as I said, they had a priority pick. So they had 10 top 30 picks in 2 years because they were able to trade players out and get priority picks. You can't do that anymore.
No.
So this year they've traded out Tom Mitchell for basically Cooper Stevens. They traded out Jack Gunston for pick 48.
And traded out Tom O'Meara Mitchell for, to pay play for play, Collingwood.
And draft and traded out O'Meara for Lloyd Meek in a future second rounder. On top of that, free agency now means that the teams at the top stay at the top for longer. So it is actually hard to rebuild. And you can go back through history. If you want to talk about Melbourne, where they're at now, and they had priority picks in 2008, 9, 12, and 13. Richmond had priority picks with Alex Rance back in their day. And even you look at Carlton now and go, okay, maybe Carlton's the most recent example. They got Mackay, Curnow, and Wietering in one draft.
In one draft.
But that was 8 years ago. And they're finally going to play finals after 8 years.
Well, maybe play finals.
Well, I think they will play finals this year. But it just goes to show it is not a 3, 5, 6, 7 year rebuild. It is closer to 10.
So you've also assessed Sam Mitchell, as I have, Joey. Will he be there whenever this turns?
I'm more convinced now that he won't be there the next time they play finals. And history shows that very few coaches that go through the real rebuild are the ones that actually come out on the other side when they play finals.
Well, that's even more staggering because he himself chose this path.
Yeah.
Now, often it's inflicted upon the coach. The club around the coach says, we are doing this. Sometimes it's a board decision. Sometimes it's a recruiting decision. But he drove this one.
So you either look at it and go, he's either being very, very selfless and doing the right thing for the football club, maybe knowing that he won't be there, or he thinks for some reason he can defy history and be smarter than what history has shown in regards to how quickly you can rebuild. Because the only example of a quick rebuild is probably the Sydney Swans. They had a little, but everyone forget, they got 5 academy kids. Yeah. They got Mills, Heaney, Nick Blakey, Goulden, and Campbell. And they were able to keep pick 4, Logan McDonald.
And kept recruiting well outside of those academy kids.
So it's just going to be a long, long haul for the Hawks, and Hawks fans have to be mighty patient.
If I was playing for the Hawks, I'd be starting to get a touch frustrated in what the coach is sort of putting out there. On the weekend, it was talk about we weren't spirited for long enough, and the players had a good discussion about why they weren't spirited for long enough. If I was a player, I'd be saying, well, I feel that we weren't spirited for long enough because you got rid of all our top-end talent, all the blokes that could keep us in games.
Yeah. And you heard Alistair Clarkson after the Kangaroos win, there was a little video of him. He basically credited Cunnington, Hugh Greenwood, Liam Shields for saying, you guys are so important to allow the Davies Uniacke and the Larkies and the Zerhas to drive the club. It was really nice. Hey, we've got to take a break because we've got Damo still plenty of news as we touched on after this. This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, and you can listen exclusive on the Listener app.
This is the Midweek Rub with Joey, Daisy and Damo. Triple M rocks footy.
This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. We're working beautifully here, Daisy. I know you're loving it. Damo, plenty of footy news as we touched on off the top. But let's start with the Sydney Swans because they had a – look, it was a big win against the Hawks. We've just touched on them. But what I really love, Joel Amati and Logan McDonald kicking bags, but they got Buddy Franklin to return this week. What do you make of the Sydney Swans dilemma?
It's fascinating because you've got an all-time great, I would argue legend of the game, that first induction into the Hall of Fame. Just don't even worry about just becoming a normal run-of-the-mill member. Straight to legend status. Yep. 5 years after he retires, obviously. But he's still got 1 year of footy left to play. And while people want to shoot him down, and I get it, he's a different player to what he was. He still kicked 50 goals last year in a team that made the grand final. Now, okay, the grand final itself for him and his club was bad, but he kicked 50 goals in a good season of footy. Missed, obviously, round two with the match review office sanction for the round one incident, and Marty kicks 4 and McDonald kicks 5. How they balance this and how they do it for the remainder of the year, I'm going to leave it to you guys. All I know is, as a pure football lover and love the aesthetics of the game, Buddy has to have a place in that forward line for the remainder of this season. That's just my two bobs worth. Go for it.
Well, I think we all think that, but I want to ask you, Daisy, and we've seen it with a lot of teams when they lose a player out of their side, they are still actually better off for it. Could it be possible that Sydney, towards the back end of the year for another finals campaign, are actually a better team if Buddy's not in it?
I say no. I love everything that Lance Franklin does. And if you're a better team without him in it, geez, you're going pretty well.
Yeah.
I think with the tactical sub now, I think that's a perfect opportunity. A bloke who would have been managed come the back end of the season, put one of your tools, whichever one's going worse than the other, on the bench. Have Buddy and, say, a Marty up there. And then at halfway through the third, flip Buddy off. Put your next tool on. Away you go. Gets a defender that's half-cooked from running around chasing Bud all day. Still manage Buddy's minutes. I know that plan probably goes out the window if there's an injury early, but then you deal with it. You can just swap the two bigger men off the ground. The smallest have to carry more of the load, but I think in terms of a tactical sub idea, I don't mind that.
Yeah, it's a great problem for Sydney to have. I think no doubt Buddy plays when he's fit and available, but maybe you don't play him every week. I think you've still got to get looks at this Sydney team and the forward line without him. So maybe every third week he has off, or if they travel interstate, he just doesn't go. So they're getting a double whammy. You're getting a fresh Bud, and you're getting a look at these Sydney youngsters as well throughout the season. It'll all depend managing wins and those sorts of things. But I think that's they've got to find the right balance. And then come finals time, you pick your absolute best team.
McDonald was, as we know, a high pick. Pick 4 in the 2020 draft. So it's his third season of footy. 26 games of football to his name now. 31 goals. Of that 31, 15 have come in matches where Buddy hasn't played.
His three best games. Yeah, three best games he's played of his career where Buddy hasn't played. Yeah.
That's a good thing, though, for the Swans, as you touch on, though. Mm. So if Buddy doesn't play, you're quite comfortable with the look you're going to have up forward. I said, I love everything about what Bud does. And I think when you're still at his age and everyone talks about age, he's still got that competitiveness that you need. You can see him throwing his body weight around. He gets suspended because he's still competing at such a high level.
It's such a balancing act, isn't it? And phasing out the game's greats is a challenge for any coach. John Longmire's as good a coach as there is. He will have a plan. It'll be different to what last year was. And Scott Pendlebury's phasing out at Collingwood is showing no signs of stopping, isn't it? He was being phased out 3 or 4 years ago.
He was.
4 years ago.
They moved him out of the centre square about 4 years ago, starting to plan with life without Pendles.
I think he's a better player now than he was at the peak of his time. Hey, we touched on Hawthorn before, and it's been a bit of a theme already this year, but Clarko this weekend, Saturday, Launceston, 1:45 start. It's versus Hawthorn, and I think more intriguingly, versus Sam Mitchell.
Do you reckon Clarko will be trying hard this week to win?
I know you can't really make games personal, but this is as personal as it would be.
Because there is no relationship to speak of.
He'll be using his best material that he's got, that he's used over his career as a coach, pre-game. He'll be using it in round 3.
Will it be the Shark?
It'll be the grand final.
This is grand final time. 3 rounds in, and this is the North Melbourne Footy Club's grand final. I'm not sure what narrative he's bringing, but he will have them wound up to a T.
Yeah.
massive chance for them to be 3-0 though, North Melbourne. Like, they are playing, without a doubt, the much, much better footy than Hawthorn. So they should be expecting to win. And 3-0 does give you a great launch pad to kick off in, for the rest of the season. So it'll be fascinating. But, yeah, that's going to be a great little byproduct of the game.
Do, and this is hypothesising, if North Melbourne get a hold of this is, or the Hawks, I should say. If North Melbourne get a hold of the Hawks, is this now area for concern from a board level? Do the little jungle drums just start to pitter-patter a touch louder?
At Hawthorn?
At Hawthorn. In terms of
not
steady.
In terms of Sam Mitchell's tenure, no.
Is there unrest up behind the scenes? You have to
absolutely.
Go into it too, mate.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like there's already, I mean, it's amazing what losing does. This club's so used to winning. So they haven't really had to experience it. But as soon as you start losing, there's
and you lose to teams who are meant to be around you on the ladder, a la
little
North
fracturing, Albion. Little bits of fracturing going on behind the scenes?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I've said before on this show that the other clubs aren't happy with Hawthorn handling of the racism report and how it to use the footy terminology and vernacular, handballed that issue to the AFL, which made it an all-off competition issue, not just of their own doing. So there's that aspect of it. You've had a meeting during the week, which was real. There was some genuine tension at a Unite and Inspire headlined meeting to try and bring everyone together. It did anything but. And they are getting absolutely restless, There are issues there. Hey, guys, Daisy Pierce, one of the great commentators, put your hand down, Dave. being banned from Channel 7 rooms, from the change rooms of other teams that aren't Geelong, now that she's got the dual role as Channel 7 commentator and Geelong assistant coach for both men's and women's teams. I have zero issue with this. If I was the CEO of a football club, I wouldn't be allowing the assistant coach of another club in. Now, I know that what you see in a room these days is different to what it once was. But the IP and the little one percenters, I keep getting told, are so important to the premiership pursuit that allowing an opponent into your confines is not something that I would have under my watch.
I think they've done it very respectfully, both clubs. Neil Baum coming out and saying, no, this just is what we stand for. We don't have assistance from other clubs into our rooms. Nothing personal against Daisy. This is just a rule. So.
And I'm sure other media out that have either been on boards or been in football departments haven't been allowed in at other clubs. Well, it just probably hasn't been a big story because it's maybe not Daisy Pierce. But
coach role is, I won't say it's unique, but it's different to a board member. Yeah. Like Luke Darcy's a board member. Jimmy Bartel's a board member. Ed was a president. Yeah. James Brochure was a president. This role is specific to how teams structure up.
If anything, it's credit to her footy brain. The ability that they think that whatever there is there, the little one percenters as you touch on, she may be able to pick up and take them and then take them to Geelong for an advantage. Whereas obviously when you're talking about Luke Darcy, the clubs don't give a crap.
Yeah, I did some opposition analysis for Fremantle a few years ago and I didn't go in any clubs' rooms. Actually, one day I went down to St Kilda and they were a bit funny about me walking around St Kilda, like, oh, don't just go upstairs and have a look at the board. I said, no, we're not going to conflict there, but it can happen. Hey, lastly, Damo, the tribunal. So we've seen the bump crackdown round one. Mm. We've seen the sling tackle crackdown in round two. I think we all agree, good for the game. Unfortunately, we've had to have these instances to happen.
To reprove it,
But hopefully, Daisy, hopefully players can finally click on and realise they just have to take more care of their fellow players.
A month of footy for that tackle to miss, I think is fairly unfair. Obviously, you've got to look
So what's the right number?
Well, if you get 2 weeks for a spear tackling bump, a spearing bump, not a tackling bump, the non-football motion. You get 3 weeks for an old-fashioned shirt front and then a tackling. The bloke had the ball at the start. Yes, he didn't have to go on with it. Two or three I would have been fine with. I think four is one too many. But again, this is clearly the AFL putting every player on notice that they're not standing for this. And obviously they're making an example of someone. Unfortunately, in this occasion for the Tigs, it's Nathan Broad.
And Nathan Broad's doing some Triple M zone. He's doing some stuff with us. But I want to make a point, though. I know you've played as well. We've both been in this situation. Getting your head slammed into the ground when your arms are pinned, I think, is more dangerous for your brain than a bump. Yeah. So it's actually a more dangerous potential outcome for your brain in the future than, I think, a bump.
Does the issue come now if somebody does the same motion and the player gets up and he's fine?
No, they'll get suspended for that.
Would they get the same amount?
No, well, probably not. But
well, Burton got 2 weeks and Jamie Elliott continued to play. So I think that's almost looking at that's now got to be benchmark for the year. Mm. If you do that sling tackle dangerously, even if a player continues to play, it's got to be 1 to 2 week suspension.
I just hope now the system backs up those decisions for the remaining 21 matches.
Because that's when they backpedal and give someone.
And history tells us that
it'll happen
this
at some
argument
stage.
Will happen,
it's guaranteed, as Duck used to say. We'll be talking about the tribunal, not just this year, but for the next 5 years to come. Hey, let's take a break because up next we've got Rabsy's segment, the Fair Dinkum or Fugazi, but I think maybe Rudy might steer that one today. That's all to come up next on Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub.
This is the Midweek Rub.
We like it when someone gives you a clip.
Stay in your lane, Damo.
Triple M rocks footy.
This is the Midweek Rub with Damo, Daisy and Joey, and we've got our new segment called Fair Dinkum or Fugazi.
Now on the Midweek Rub, it's
Fair Dinkum
or
Fugazi, Fugazi, it's a wazzy, it's a woozy, it's a...
Well, boys, Rabsy Warren owns this segment. This was his idea. It's his little baby, but he's not here today. So we've got Rudy filling in for him. Hey, Rudy, before we get into it, Fair Dinkum or Fugazi, the Cats are cooked. You're the number one ticket holder down at the Catland. Are they cooked?
Not yet, but I am worried about the midfield.
Hey, Fugazi or Fair Dinkum, answer the question.
Sorry, you're right. Fugazi.
Oh, okay. Anyway, you're going to steer the ship today, Rudy.
Let's
fire
go,
away.
Rudy.
All right, I'll kick off with you, Daisy.
Oh, yes.
The AFL will be looking for some cash back on their Gabba rental fee.
Fair Dinkum. I had an issue with a rental where the garage door wouldn't work for a month and a half. I got some money back. Obviously, if your electricity doesn't work throughout your tenure and it's a problem of the stadium, I think you're well within your rights to request a little bit of the cash you're paying back. So fair dinkum.
For you, Joey, this one's a more serious footy question. The Bulldogs went early on extending Bevo's contract.
They went early. Now, that's Fugazi. I think I'm in your camp there. I actually don't mind it because if he was out of contract right now, it would be back-to-back page headlines everywhere that the Bulldogs should get rid of Beveridge, and it would just be creating more damage for the club. At least now they get a little bit of time to rectify it and try and fix the problem. And the good thing is if it doesn't work out and they want to make a choice anyway later in the year, they've only got a six-month payout. So, no, I think that that's Fugazi.
Damo, Victoria Racing needs to start scheduling their races during the Saturday Rub ads.
That is fair dinkum because I think you are referring to what this idiot Bill Brownless did during last Saturday's Rub. And for those who haven't heard it, Rudy, I'm assuming you are. So let's have a listen.
Bossy Nick trying to get out of the...
Let's just do the race call, why don't you?
Here we go. Squeeze through now. Come on, Deanie Holland. He's trying to squeeze through. There's still 400 metres to go. They're at the clock tower. Here comes Bossy Nick. Oh, it's going all right.
Coming out.
Going all right here, Jim. Get up behind it. Get home! Let's get off! Hang on! Keep going! Don't go off too early!
Oh, no.
Bossy Nick! Get home! Stop! Get home! Bossy Nick!
It's home!
Yes! There's a $200,000 race! Bossy Nick wins it easy! Yes! Shut up, Pickers! How? And Andrew Marr, you boring bastard, you get stuffed! Fair dinkum.
It was incredible. He was trying to do the quiz, and as we know, he's not with us half the time. He is with us, Bill. Just took it over, SEN track style.
I don't know how he gets it. It was SEN. I don't know how he gets away with that. Bill can do whatever he likes. It was still entertaining, still made us
and
laugh.
And then started teeing off on the other boxes for no reason. His horse gets up, Pickers, he wins, and then Pickers cops it. Andy Maher in the front row cops it. He just started launching. Oh, brilliant. Oh, I love that. I wish they would for Sundays as well, if that's going to happen.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
For you, Joey, on a similar note, this stitch-up from Daisy Thomas is un-Triple M-like.
Chew, man, just the Bombers' pressure the last 10 minutes, if you could.
Yeah, Bombers' pressure. Come back to you very shortly. Daisy?
Daisy, that's a stitch-up. Yeah,
exactly.
That was a stitch-up. We worked together here. You saw Chew Man's computer break down.
Exactly.
And you throw one at him. Come on, Daisy.
Hospital handball.
Yeah, Daisy, you're talking about Sam Mitchell throwing his players under the bus. You poor Chew Man, the heart and soul of Triple M. And
Did you do that?
You saw his computer
broken
down.
That is low,
and we're trying to build a bit of a cultural shift on the Sunday Rub, Damo. We're trying to be a bit more inclusive.
You're trying to bring each other food, aren't
you? Yeah, we're looking after each other. So that's
poor.
My defense,
it was very funny.
I let it go the first time. He rebooted once, and I let it go, and then he went again, and it didn't work. I felt buckled. You can't look a gift horse in the mouth.
It's poor, but it's very Triple M. Well done.
Very Triple M.
Yes.
Daisy.
Yes.
Port deserve a mulligan for their performance against Collingwood.
That's fair dinkum. I think you will see a much better Port Adelaide side this week. A showdown, the perfect chance. Round one, they were brilliant against the Lions, who franked that form by coming out and absolutely smacking the D's. And I talked to Smacky, it was 11 points in the end, but if it wasn't for the lights out, it could have been 50, probably should have been 50 plus. I give them a mulligan, and I think they're going to come out and absolutely smack the Crows this weekend.
Okay. Damo, similar note, there's no one harder for Melbourne to replace than Max Gawn.
That is fair dinkum. Yeah, I mean, they'll be appreciative of doing what they did in the trade period by bringing Brodie Grundy in, but you don't replace Max.
Joey? The town of Fremantle isn't big enough for Sean Darcy and Luke Jackson.
Oh, I'm going with Fugazi for now. I think the commentary around Luke Jackson, it was like people are making out he was brought in this year to make Fremantle win a flag. He signed a 7-year deal as a 21-year-old ruckman for the long term. He's there for a long-term sustainable future at that footy club. So, yes, it's not working after the first two rounds. We can all agree with that. But let's give it a bit of time. He's there for 7 years and they can work on that.
I saw a couple of articles, got a few mates over in the West, and they're sending me articles. I hope the people who are writing these articles just remember in 10, 12, however many weeks' time when this is just humming along beautifully and they're both dominant, that they just keep the receipts and actually put their hand up and say, hey, we might have gone off a little bit early.
Media admitting to error.
It might be in 2, 3, 4 years. I mean,
well,
it's funny how we
whatever it is,
quick.
But 2 weeks in is far too early to go off half-cocked.
I think so.
Daisy, Pies fans were booing Jason Horne-Francis out of solidarity with North Melbourne fans.
I think you'd probably say that is fair, Dinkum. for whatever reason it is, there's a bit of a gripe around this kid in terms of, I guess, the footy world was frustrated as a whole in how the handling of last year went. And I think, unfortunately, I don't think it's fair by any stretch. I'm not condoning it, but I think that's just the tag he's going to have to carry when you're a number one pick and it gets portrayed that you're a bit of a brat in the way you went about things. The rest of the AFL world doesn't seem to like that. And whether it was that or the prison bars, that's the only two conclusions I can draw.
What do you think? I know booing's a bit culturally, but I find booing real bogan and childish. Like, I get if you're a kid, boo, it's good fun. Yeah. If you're an adult, you're booing? Like,
Are you worried about the fans booing and you're calling them bogans?
No, I'm saying anything. I said booing in general. Boos, I think it's a bit bogan. I mean, really. I mean, we're adults. You can go to the footy, you don't have to boo a 19-year-old kid. But anyway, that's a different story.
I'm with you.
It's a cultural thing for whatever reason. We boo our champ, Gary Ablett, and all our superstars get booed.
Daisy Thomas.
It's a weird thing that we do in Australia. But good one, Rudy.
One last one for you, Joey. The Friday huddle is trying to fracture the culture of the Sunday rub.
Yeah, I think that's fair, Dinkum. I was listening to the Friday huddle and they're just trying to create a little wedge. About Nathan Brown and his intel and talking about Daisy Thomas.
He gave you a pep talk, apparently.
He gave you an almighty pump up.
Yeah. But it was a real positive. It was great for the group.
This is the cultural shift. We're starting Sunday supper where we get away from eating the crap that's provided for us at the ground.
We just love that because Brownie decided to try and make himself and appoint himself captain of the Sunday when he's...
We did chat about that on Sunday.
No
there
one
wasn't
knows
a
where
vote.
He fits in on the Friday.
We didn't have a vote. That's just somehow he was self-appointed.
And he also didn't say, no, okay, we'll put it to a vote. He just went, this is what's happened and this is where I've landed. I've landed on my feet. I've got the crown. I'm the captain.
Yeah, very good. Hey, well done, Rudy. Not bad, but I reckon Rabsy will take the reins next week on that segment. Fair dinkum. Well, Fugazi, stick with us because after this, we'll preview a massive round of action, round 3. That's all to come. Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub.
I liked it, Rudy.
Well done, Rudy.
This is the Midweek Rob. Jolo was impressed with how my brain worked then. I could see it.
It's all about you once again, isn't it?
Triple M Rocks Footy. Triple M Rocks Footy, this is the Midweek Rub. Hey, we're going to look at the games from round 3. Before we do, we always like to listen back to our moral because it's important that we get our certainty right, and this is how we went last week.
Morals for me, sorry. That's where I'm going to put my moral.
Who's that?
On the Dogs.
Kilda?
No, please.
What are your thoughts on that game, Joey?
I'm making Melbourne my moral. Melbourne are my moral.
I'm making, weirdly enough, West Coast my certainty for the week. I've been bagging them for 18 months. I bagged them last week after what they dished up against North Melbourne. I'm giving them one more chance.
And thank God I did. Yeah, well done. Too good.
Well done.
Too good. Joey and I just real stinky.
Well, so did the social media team here too. I saw it the day after. I was getting bagged for a tip of a game that hadn't been played.
We laughed at you. I accused you of being drunk on air. And then you've come out and got it done.
Well, let's get straight into it. Who's your moral for this week, Daisy?
Port Adelaide in the showdown against the Crows. They've won, 5 of the last 6, 4 of those by a margin of 49 points or more. Bunnies they are. All the confidence in the world, Port Adelaide will smack the Crows.
Damo, what's your certainty?
I'm using the other crosstown rival game, the Perth game, Fremantle, to be my certainty for the week, having chosen West Coast to be that team last week.
All right, I'm going to break up my zip and two start. I'm going Collingwood to beat Richmond as my moral. Pies humming, few injuries maybe at Tigerland. So I'm going to go with Collingwood. I think they are playing scintillating footy.
Good round of footy.
Great round of footy. What about Thursday night quickly? The Dogs and Brisbane. We all just think now Brisbane win because they're bounced back and the Dogs are cooked. But, Damo, the way footy works.
Well, the way footy works, the Dogs could win.
And
go back to only 10 days ago or a week ago, we were coming off the Brisbane performance against Port Adelaide and we thought they were gone. I'm with you on that prediction, but it is not with great confidence that the Dogs won't bounce back. So.
Yeah, just going off form lines, you have to be tipping Brisbane because the Dogs have shown nothing. Brisbane have been very good 1 week.
Well, my Smokey, the outsider, I think the Giants could potentially beat Carlton. I know Carlton are flying Giants, like but that. Maybe back at home. They're playing some good footy. I like the way they go about it, just trying to find a Smokey. Maybe GWS, I think they're a chance. What about you, Damo?
I say this, I'm going to tip Geelong, but I think the Gold Coast
is a danger game,
is a danger game for Geelong. So I'll throw them into that category for this conversation.
Yep.
I'm going to say that it's a danger game for North. And although we bagged out Hawthorn, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw them winning. This is, again, Clarko's grand final, but also a game the Hawks will be treating like a grand final for one a few wins on the season.
Spot on. And Melbourne-Sydney's a 50-50 ball game. And St Kilda-Essendon as well. Either team, you wouldn't be surprised if they win. So it is a cracking round of footy. Can't wait. It kicks off Thursday night, round 3, Triple M, the blockbuster between the Bulldogs and Brisbane from 7 p.m. with Das, BT, Brownie, Kate McCarthy, Ash Chua, and Abby Holmes. It's been a nice edition of Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. Rabs, you'll be back next weekend. Or next week, I should say. Thanks to Rudy.
Well done, Rudy.
And we'll do it all again next Wednesday.
This has been Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub with Joey Montagna, Daisy Thomas and Damian Barrett. Follow Triple M Footy on socials to get the latest news and highlights. And to live stream games or listen anytime, download the Listener app. LISTNR.